Welcome to Good Hope Through Grace.
Book of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, verses 28 through verse 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Everybody say labor.
Labor.
Come unto me, all ye that do what?
Labor.
And are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The rest of salvation, that's the theme of these verses. You'll see it's listed twice, or it's mentioned twice in the text. You look at the latter part of verse 28, it says, I will give you what? I'll give you rest. So rest, this rest is spoken of here, is something that Jesus gives. This rest is not something that you can earn. It's something that Jesus gives. You see, He says, I will give you rest. And my friends, if He don't give it, you won't have it. That's the only place that you can find it at. You'll notice the word rest is mentioned again in verse 29. It says, ye shall find rest unto your soul. So it mentions the word rest twice. And it says it's a rest for the what? For the soul. We're not talking about a physical rest this morning, like when you come in from work and kick back on the couch and relax from a hard day's work. This is a spiritual rest, or what we would like to term salvation rest. So we got a three-point outline we're going to deal with this morning. We want it to be shorter, if possible. But we want it to be real powerful. I want you to give me a good listen. Because the most important thing in the world for you to have is this rest. I want you to know this morning I have this rest this morning. And you can't have joy and peace without possessing salvation's rest. You won't find rest any other place it's spoken of here other than in Jesus Christ, other than in Him. That's the only place you'll find it. Associated with this is peace and joy. So without this salvation rest, you won't have a full peace or joy. Let's talk a little bit about this rest this morning. I want to show you what it is. This is salvation rest. And to explain salvation rest to you, I'm just going to give some different illustrations. The rest of salvation is the rest of knowing. It's the rest of knowing that you're saved. You can't have salvation's rest unless you know you're saved. Certainly in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. He had the rest of knowing that He's born again. Do y'all know what that rest is like? You know, there's a lot of people, if you ask them, are they saved? You know what they'll do? They'll go, boy, I sure hope so. Well, there's no rest in that. Or I think so. Or I may be. Or I hope I shall be. No, I know I'm saved. I don't think, wish, hope. I know I'm saved. And you can't, associated with this rest of salvation that is spoken here, is knowing that you're saved. The second thing about this rest that I want you to notice is it's knowing that you have a home in heaven. Knowing that you're saved and knowing that you have a home in heaven. I don't really understand how you could really be truly happy in this life without knowing you have a home in the Father's house. Think about it this morning. Each tick of the clock brings you closer to what? Closer to the grave. And if you don't have a heavenly home, each tick of the clock brings you closer to losing everything that you have, including your soul. Since you never realize or understand or know the day and the time that you're going to pass, without the knowledge that you have a heavenly home, is it not a vain, empty, miserable life? I couldn't imagine. I used to couldn't stand aging. I realized we were going to have to. But as I've told you many times in the past, I view aging a lot differently today than I used to. You know, a lot of people like to go back and relive their life again. I wouldn't want to go back one day. Do you guys know why? I got a home in the Father's house. Each day, each minute brings me closer to my heavenly home. On the loading dock where I work at, sometimes people say, Preacher, how you doing today? Another day closer to paradise. That's true for every child of the King. Associated with this rest is the knowledge that you have a home in heaven. Associated with this rest is this salvation rest is knowing that it's well with your soul. You know, I don't think it's well with my soul. I know it's well with my soul. I got rest. I know I got a home in the Father's house. I know I'm saved. The writer of that great hymn, "It Is Well with His Soul," was a man by the name of Spafford. And he wrote this song after the great, you probably remember in history, the great Chicago fire. And they had lost their possessions in that fire, and he had sent his wife and his daughters, three daughters, I believe, across the Atlantic Ocean. I believe it was to England. They were going back there for a while, and another great disaster happened. That ship that they were on ran into another vessel, and their vessel sunk. And all three of his daughters drowned. Can you imagine that? And he got a wire back from his wife that said, "Saved alone," meaning his wife was the only one that survived, that all three of his daughters had died in that particular shipwreck. As he was going across to meet his wife, near the place where the ship went down, he penned the words, "It is well with my soul." My friend, when all else falls apart in a person's life, you might have a life that's sort of like Job's. Job lost all of his wealth. He lost, I believe it was six, or a total of six children. He lost his health. But you know one of the things he said? "Though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in the flesh I shall see God." He knew it was well with his soul. Salvation rest is the knowledge that it is well. Though what might come to pass here on this earth, you know it is indeed well with your soul. Can you sing that song this morning and with Spafford in your heart say, "Oh yes, Lord, it is well. I know I got a home in heaven. I know I'm saved. I know it's well with my soul." And you know something else? Another part of this rest is I know my penalty's paid. You know, sin has a penalty to it. The fact is that every one of us has sinned. Romans 3:23 says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And before that, there is a penalty attached to that. And though it's almost out of date with a lot of people, there is a hell out there because of sin. People go to hell because of sin. That's the penalty that's attached to sin. But there is good news. Christ paid that penalty 2,000 years ago on the cross. And when you trust Him as your Savior, that penalty is paid in full. There's a great peace and rest that comes upon you when you know that your penalty is paid in full. Man, when I was a little boy, And of course, when I was a little boy, I was raised in this church. I came to this church, I believe, since I was 3 months old. This is one of the first places that I was brought to. That's why it's a special, of course, to your heart. But boy, well, they'd bring in them old mean Baptist preachers and they'd get up here and they'd pound. That's why this pulpit is broke. They'd pound the pulpit and things, and they'd preach on hell. And I'd sit back there as a little boy, and I'm telling you what, that would scare me to death. And it got a big grip on me when I was a little boy. And I'd go home, and I'd be going to lay down at night, and I'd start crying and say, "Oh, Mom, I don't want to go to hell." And I had a tremendous fear of that. I couldn't think of anything any worse than being condemned to hell. Do you believe it's real or not? I believe it's real because the Bible says so. That was enough for me. And I mean at a little age, I believed that. But you know what? Look up here at me. I'm not a bit afraid of hell.
That's right.
I don't have 1 ounce of worry over hell. You know why that is? Romans 8 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." Amen. I have rest. I don't know any other way to describe it than this text describes it. I have rest for my soul. I know it's well with my soul. I know I have a home in heaven. I know my penalty's paid, and I know I'm saved. I have rest, sweet rest. I have peace. Man, I've seen people under deathbeds that had this salvation rest that was completely... I've never seen such joy. Yeah, a boy that attended this church for a while, and then he passed away with cancer. And we prepared his funeral. Me and him prepared his funeral service right there on the bed. He wrote things that he wanted me to share with his family. He never shed one tear. He was looking forward to seeing his Lord.
Amen.
It was a phenomenal experience for me. He wasn't sad. He had what? Rest. Perfect rest. That's what I'm speaking on this morning. Now let's move on to the laborer. You see who this invitation is addressed to. Of course, there's general invitations, but this invitation is addressed to those who do what? Notice what it says, "Come unto me, all ye that do what? Labor." Remember I said you say labor. Remember I had you say labor? This is speaking to, what's it mean to labor? What's another word for labor? Someone tell me. Work. He's addressing those that are working. Now, he's not talking about physical work. Go out and work in the field and come out and then I'll give you a couch to lay on. He's speaking spiritually. Remember, he said, you come to me and you'll find rest for your souls. And he's addressing people that are laboring. They're people that are working. And you know what they're working for? They're working for their salvation. They're trying by their own deeds and their own efforts and their own goodness to earn paradise. And of course, at the time, especially at the time of Christ, when he's writing here, the Pharisees, that's the teaching that they spread. That's what they trusted in. They were a religious people that trusted in themselves. In the book of Luke chapter 19, when he told the Pharisee, or the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, it says he spoke that parable to those that trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. Do you remember the parable? So he addresses this particular passage of Scripture to people that were working, they're laboring, and are by their efforts trying to earn heaven. Do you know anybody that's that way? I know a great host of people that's that way. That's the ground of their confidence. That's what they're trusting in. So they're working, but at the same time, it says they labor and are what? They're heavy laden. They realize, Rusty, they just realize they're missing something. They realize that they fall short. They realize that they're undone. And in their heart, in their deep heart, they know there's a conviction there that they're not right. Now, there's people that are laboring that don't have that. They think they're just as good as everybody else and better than everybody else, and they'll look with a big smile on their face, I'm earning heaven. I've met many people that's that way, and they'll tell me that. I'm getting there because of my good deeds, because I keep all the commandments. They'll tell me right up front. But this is a people that are laboring for heaven, but at the same time, they have a conviction in their heart that they're not right. They're heavy laden. They just feel that they're undone and feel that they're incomplete. And guess what? They are. So that's who this particular text is written to. They don't have any kind of rest. The hope of heaven for them is not built on Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's built on themselves. And my friend, if it's built on yourself, that's seeking sin. And you can never, listen, you can never have the rest of salvation as long as you trust in yourself. You'll never have it. You'll feel undone, incomplete, and wonder if you've done enough to get there. You'll never have what this text is talking about, listen to me, unless you fully trust Christ. Unless your hope of heaven is all Jesus, not half Jesus. I want to read you a text, and you don't have to turn. I think I can quote it. I've quoted it a million times, but I'll probably mess it up anyway. I'll tell you where it's at, and then you can look it up later. Do you have your Bible? Well, turn to it anyway. I want you to look at it. We're not in a hurry. We're not going by the what? We're not going by the clock. Or the watch. or the Son. Philippians chapter 3, notice what it says now. I want everybody in the house to look at this text because this is an important text. I told you, and I'm going to tell you again, you'll never have rest as long as you're trusting in yourself. This text was addressed to a religious people. They were trusting the wrong object. They were trusting the wrong object. And Jesus wouldn't have done a bit of good if he told them they were all right. They were laboring, yet they realized they were undone, incomplete. And there was conviction in their heart. They were heavy laden, burdened with their sin. Philippians 3 and verse 3. Notice what the text says. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. We are the circumcision. That's, of course, I'm not going to get into that. You're a spiritual Jew. You know, I'm a Gentile by physical birth. But I'm a Jew by new birth. All God's people say it. That's just a fact of this New Testament scriptures. You're a spiritual Jew. And a circumcision was another word that was used for the Jew. Remember King David, when he faced Goliath, said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would divide the armies of the living God?" You would refer to the Gentile, the people that weren't of God, as the uncircumcised, but you would refer to the people of God as the circumcised. Everybody understand that? So he says, we are the circumcision, and he gives you three things there that defines them. Which worship God in the what? Their worship in the show. Their worship is from their heart. Worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in who? Messiah Jesus. Christ Jesus. And what's the last part of that verse say? Somebody read it there. Say it one more time.
No confidence in the flesh.
Have no confidence in the flesh. You know where all their confidence is at, don't you? All their confidence is in Christ. Whoever wrote that song that we sang at the beginning of the service, "The Solid Rock," on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is seeking sand. They'll tell you that. Their confidence. Why am I going to heaven? Ask me, Jesus. Jesus died for me and rose again. It's all Jesus. It's not half Jesus and half me. It has to be. I'm telling you, you'll never have rest. You'll never have rest till you realize that Calvary is a finished work. And as far as you going to heaven is concerned, Jesus did it all.
Amen.
Greatest compliment I've ever been paid as a pastor is this. Is when someone walks that aisle and say, "Jeff, now I know that Jesus did it all." You'll never have peace and rest till you realize that. No confidence in the what? Flesh. People over the years have walked forward in the church and wanted to join. And I love that. And you know the question I ask them first, don't you? I ask them, are they saved? I mean, shouldn't be joining the church till you're saved. You know, unless you want to fill your church full of lost people. Are you saved? Yes, I am. Sometimes they'll, I don't know why they get that bob to them, but they do. Yes, I'm saved. You know what the next question I ask? Same thing I asked Dewey. Why do you say that? And you know, when they answer me, Rusty, that will show me where their confidence is at. You see, Philippians 3:3 says that the circumcision have no confidence in their flesh. So when I ask them why they tell me they're saved, and the way that they answer me will tell me a whole lot about where their confidence is at. You know what I've had people tell me over the years? I've had them tell me I'm doing the best I can. I think I'm saved because I'm doing the best that I can. Well, the best you can is not good enough. If the best you can was good enough, he would have never left heaven and came to this earth and went to that cruel cross and died to start with. If you can be saved by doing the best you can, when he prayed in the garden, "Lord, if this can pass from me, let it pass." The Father said, "Come on back, son. Jeff can do the best he can and get to heaven." The fact of the matter is, Jesus had to go to the cross and die because there was no way an old hell-bound sinner such as myself could go to heaven without him going to the cross and paying the debt that I owed. And when he on the cross said, "It is finished," it was finished. Laboring but yet heavy laden. And as long as you're laboring to get your salvation or to keep it, if you're laboring to keep it, that's still salvation by works. Still salvation by your labor. Now let me get something straight. I believe in good works. I try to do as many as I can. I believe that we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The new birth that He works in your heart will evidence itself by good works. I believe that when you trust Christ as your Savior, it changes your life. And you'll never be the same again. Do y'all believe that? But my friend, it's not my works that saves me. It's what Jesus did that saved me. It's not my labor. Your righteousness, is, as Isaiah 64 says, is just like filthy rags to Him. Jesus did it all. Are you laboring trying to earn heaven? You don't have no rest, do you? You feel incomplete, don't you? You always will until you realize Jesus did it all. And stop laboring and fully trust Christ. Let me show you a little something interesting. Turn to Hebrews 4. I'm just about done, believe it or not. You heathen that denied, that didn't think I could preach a 25-minute message. Hebrews 4. I do it on the broadcast every week. I've had plenty of practice. Hebrews chapter 4. I want you to notice verse 10. I'd like to go into more detail with this, but not. Just sticking to rest. Verse 10 says, He that has entered into his rest has ceased from his own works as God did from his. He that has entered into his rest, and my friend, I entered into that rest today that I trusted in him as my Savior. It says, he that has entered into his rest has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let's talk a little bit about that. God, on the seventh day, he created this world, young people, in 6 24-hour days. Amen. They wasn't billions of years. 6 24-hour days, that's what the Bible said. Evening and the morning is a 24-hour day. Told you that 6 times in the Genesis chapter 1, so you'll know it's a 24-hour day. So he did that. In 6 24-hour days, the Lord spoke this world into existence and the universe and everything there was. Now, on the seventh day, someone tell me what he did.
Rest.
He rested. Now, he didn't rest because he was tired. God don't get tired. Does everybody know that? The word rested there means he just ceased to work. He stopped laboring. He worked 6 days, and in that seventh he rested, which is why he instituted in the Old Testament the Sabbath day. What did they do on the Sabbath day? Someone tell me. Nothing. They didn't do any work. So to enter into this salvation rest, what Hebrews chapter 4 says, he that enters into their rest must cease from their own works as he did from his. You know how you get saved, folks? You have to seek. You have to stop trying to save yourself and trust Christ.
Amen.
You got a Sabbath. You got a rest. You know that's hard for a man to do sometimes. Paul tried to save himself for years by his deeds until one of those days the Holy Spirit of God called him and opened his heart and he realized that all of his works were nothing and said, I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is by the law, but the righteousness of God which is by faith. You want this rest, you can't work to get it. Don't make a lot of sense, does it? You want this rest, it doesn't come by your labor. It comes from fully trusting Jesus Christ. All God's people said. That's why he said, you labor and I'll give you rest. Over the years at different places that I've worked, you'll find this little, one of these days we'll have something that needs to have this emblem on it, but the cross, and I got you, and I got an arrow drawn to the cross, and I got an arrow drawn to you. There's two things that you need to know in order to have this rest. And this is what this little emblem signifies, what it means to be saved. Now, when you trusted Jesus as your Savior, you know what the Lord did with your sin? Does anybody know? He charged all your sin to Christ. He didn't charge half of it. If he charged half of it, it would be sufficient, one sin sufficient to send you to hell for. Adam committed how many sins before he was cast out of the garden? One evil thought. He had to pay for them all. If you don't realize all your sins is paid for, you'll never have no rest. I'm serious. Never have it. Always feel like you missed one. I've talked to people who feel like only half their sins was paid for, and I'll be saying, boy, it'd be great if Jesus would come right now. And they'll go, oh, not now. Wait, just I want 5 minutes. They want 5 minutes to get alone, get it all caught up. You can never have no rest that way.
That's right.
Never. Romans 4 says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He doesn't charge sin to you. He charged all your sin to Jesus Christ, all God's people's sin. You won't have rest until you know that, Eddie. You'll never have it until you know that. Number two, how righteous was Jesus Christ? He took Jesus' 100%. This is what it means to be saved. He charges all your sin to Jesus, and He took all of Jesus' righteousness, Rusty, and charged that to you. You know it does take righteousness to go to heaven. It takes 100% righteousness. There's only one place you can get that, and that's in Christ. That's what it means to be saved. And when you understand those two things right there, it gives you rest. You'll never have it. You'll labor for the rest of your life trying to get it or keep it and worry and fret until you realize those two things. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden, and I'll give you what? Rest. How do you get this rest? What did He say? Come unto me. That's synonymous with believing on Him or trusting in Him. Gospel of John chapter 6, the same kind of terminology is used. It said, come to me, all you that hunger. Believe on me, all you that are thirsty. Means the basic same thing. How you get rest is by trusting in Christ. It's more than believing that God exists. It's more than believing that Jesus exists. Most people in America do that. But when I'm telling you that I believe in Jesus, I mean I trust Him. I trust that He died for me. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. He's my sole hope of heaven. I'm going to heaven because of what He did. The gift of salvation is indeed a gift. He purchased it, and He gives it to you. And He's the one that gives you this rest. Come unto me, He says. Come unto me. Have you done that? Not done. Almost. Have you come to Him? Was there a day and a time that you trusted Him as your Savior? Or do you plan on one day doing it? You know you should. You know you should. But I'm going to wait a while. And then one of these days, I'm going to trust Christ and get that rest. Why wait? What are you waiting on? You know the thing I hate worse than anything else is doing the funeral of someone I knew who waited. And to face their family and for them family, their family to look at me and say, Jeff, do you think my daughter or my dad or whoever, Jeff, do you think they're all right? And the hardest thing in the world for me to do is go, I don't know. I really don't. I know they sat under a lot of messages. I know that they've been told. I know that they knew, but I don't know whether they trusted Him or not. They never said. That's the hardest thing on this planet as a job that I have to do. Have you come to Him? Do you know you should? Yes, I know I should. Won't you come? No, I'm going to wait. That's a no. Because if you'd go home today and you'd die or get killed in some fight, you'd still be lost. Is your sins paid for? Do you have this rest? Hey, this is a terrible life if you don't have this rest. It's a vain, empty life without this rest.
That will conclude this week's Good Hope Through Grace. We want to ask you to join us again next week at 7:30 on Monday evening, or you can join us anytime on the web at www.ghtg.org. Good Hope Through Grace is sponsored by the Elizabeth Baptist Church, P.O. Box 75, Bancroft, West Virginia, 25011.